It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Bud Bierman, Director of Church Planting for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions.
Let me say, if you have a hankering at all or a burden for church planting, I'd be delighted to talk with you. This is an exciting day to be planting churches. Tremendous opportunity when you consider we have over 300 million people in the United States, and as far as we can discern, about 10,000 fundamental Bible preaching churches. So the field is wide open, especially in certain areas of the country. If you're interested personally, or if you would like to consider the possibility of your church being involved in a church planting ministry, I'd be glad to talk with you. My office is now over across the highway at Gospel Fellowship Association, and I'd be happy to talk with you about the matter of church planting. This morning, I want to speak to you about a problem that, as I've been in the ministry 48 years, I have observed as a real problem with Christians at home and abroad. It's not only a problem for men and women in the vocational ministry, it's a problem for those that we would call laymen. And that's the weight problem. This is a real problem. Some people have problems with underweight. Some people have problems with overweight. But this matter of the weight problem is a real problem, and it has been among Christians in every generation. David has something to say about this matter of the weight. In Psalm 130 and verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. As I said, some folks have a problem with underweight. They run ahead of God. They're not willing to wait on God. They've got the answer. They've got the solution. They've got the method. And so rather than waiting on the Lord, they run ahead of the Lord. We see that certainly illustrated in Abraham's life. Abraham was given a wonderful promise from God, that God was going to give him the son of promise. But Abraham and Sarah, thinking about the fact, say, hey, we're 90 and 100 years old. How in the world could we have a child? Sarah said, I'm long past the years of childbearing. And so Sarah said, look, we're going to have to help God with this. I've got a handmaid named Hagar. Why don't you go in to her and have a child by her? And so Abraham thought, well, that sounds reasonable. That sounds good. And so Abraham took Sarah's handmaid Hagar and had a child. And as we know, that child was the father of the Arab nations and has been a thorn in the side from the day that Isaac, the genuine son of promise, was born, from those days of conflict with Ishmael right up until this day. And it's all because a man of God had a problem with underweight. He was not willing to wait on God. On the other hand, we find folk that have a problem with overweight. They wait too long on God. They lag behind God. Again, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus calling some folk to be disciples. In Luke 9:59, as He called on a man to follow Him, the man said, well, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, he wanted to be a disciple, but he didn't want to do it in the Lord's time. And in fact, there's three instances there where each of them makes some excuses for discipleship. And they say, well, suffer me first to do that or this or the other. The problem is those two words, me first. That's the reason why many times we lag behind God and are not up to date and in step with God, because me first. I'm the important one. In fact, even secular observers and writers are saying that this generation is the me first generation. I'm the important one. And so we find throughout Scripture, we find out through contemporary times, we find out through the history of the church that God's people have had a weight problem over the years. Either not willing to wait on God, or running ahead of God, or lagging behind and not being willing to move when God calls and when God directs. Well, why wait on God? What's the necessity of that? Well, I find some things in the Scripture that speak about the value or the reason for waiting on God, because it brings answers. The psalmist in Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. No doubt you can think of some times in your life when you waited on the Lord, and God gave a wonderful answer to the thing that you were praying about and were willing to wait on Him concerning, rather than running ahead of Him. Another reason to wait upon the Lord is because of the testimony of many past and present saints of what God has done in their life as they've waited upon the Lord, or as they didn't lag behind the Lord and were right in step and moving in His timetable. Why wait on the Lord? Because of God's power. It brings God's power. Again, Psalm 59, verse 9, because of His strength will I wait upon Thee, for God is my defense. And so waiting on the Lord for God's power. Wait upon the Lord because it renews our strength. That familiar verse in Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. No doubt most of you are in various aspects of Christian ministry, and you've found that to be a reality. You've been about to give up. You've been so weary in the work. Maybe not weary of the work, but you've been weary in the work. And you just needed the strength of God for one more month or for one more week or whatever. And you've waited upon the Lord and cried out to the Lord. And you found the strength of the Lord sufficient to renew your strength. Wait upon the Lord because it avoids shame. Isaiah 49, verse 23, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Now, you wait on God, you're not going to be ashamed of what God does. You run ahead of God, you may find yourself in a very shameful situation. You lag behind God, and again, you may find shame coming to your life. But they that wait on the Lord avoid shame in their life. And then why wait on God? Because it brings joy and real blessing. Isaiah 64, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside Thee, what He hath prepared for them that waiteth for Him. And so waiting on the Lord brings answers. Waiting on the Lord, we do that because of the testimony of past and present saints, and that we might be a testimony to others that are looking to our life, because of God's power, because it renews our strength, because it avoids shame in the life, and because it brings joy and blessing. You know, even the world recognizes the value of waiting, and not just rushing into things. The world has such expressions as, well, let's put it on the back burner. Or, let's sleep on it. Or, well, let's table the matter for a while. So even the world recognizes that there is value in not just rushing headlong into something, but waiting. Now, what are some things to wait on God for? I'm sure you can think of many. And there are many more than these five that I've chosen to call our attention to this morning. But five things to wait on God for, especially as we're in the Lord's work and involved in either Christian school or an evangelistic ministry or a church planning ministry or a pastoral ministry or a assistant, whatever it may be. Well, what are some things to wait on the Lord for? Well, first of all, instruction and leadership. Waiting on the Lord for instruction and leadership. The psalmist, Psalm 25, verse 5, lead me in Thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Instruction and leadership. Remember when Paul was converted on the road to Damascus? For it was all over with that Pharisee, down groveling in the dust, saying, Lord, what will you have me to do? Did God immediately tell him? No, God said, you get up and you go into town and you wait. And there you'll receive instruction. 3 days later, blind, perhaps somewhat confused, dazzled. 3 days later, God sends Ananias to give Paul the instruction that he had for him. We wait on the Lord for instruction and for leadership. It may be doctrinal. It may be practical. Remember Abraham's servant? He was charged by Abraham to go and find a bride for Abraham's son Isaac. That man didn't just plunge in and say, all right, and work out his plan. He didn't say, well, maybe I ought to wait a little while and see how things develop. No, he just started right out, but he waited on the Lord. When he got to his destination, he said, now I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to bring the woman that is just the right bride for my master's son. And the Bible tells us before he finished his prayer to God, here came the one that God had chosen. This man waited on the Lord. I just in my devotions this morning, reading in Daniel, how that Daniel and his three friends and all of the wise men of Babylon were to be executed immediately because the king was outraged that these supposed wise men couldn't tell him his dream and the interpretation. Well, Daniel went in and he asked for a little time. And he was granted it. And he didn't go home and his friends sit around and say, now, how can we do this? What can we do? No, they just immediately waited on the Lord. They went to prayer. And God gave the answer. Now, Daniel's in a good situation. I mean, he's got something that none of these other Babylonian wise men had. What'd he do? Strut in and say, well, king, I want you to know you've got a man that can interpret and also know what you dream. No, he said, king, there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. And in chapter 2 and verse 30, he said, this answer is not given to me because of any wisdom I have over anybody else. No, it's because he waited on the Lord. And God gave him direction and instruction and leadership. God will do that for you and me as we're willing to wait on Him. And then as we get the direction from Him, not hanging back, not waiting, but like Abraham, rising up immediately to do what God had told him to do. Instruction and leadership. Notice the psalmist, as he was talking about this, he said, on thee do I wait, and in His word do I hope. So many times the waiting is with regard to searching the Word of God and getting the answer from God's Word. God uses His Word to give us instruction, to give us leadership. Sometimes God will use the circumstances if we won't just plunge in and let God show us through circumstances. And God will give us the inward peace and persuasion that this is the way, walk ye in it. But instruction and leadership. Secondly, wait on God for strength in fearful circumstances. Say, the closer we come to the return of the Lord, the more fearful the circumstances are going to be in the work of the ministry and being a Bible-believing Christian. Well, the call is to wait on God for strength in the midst of those fearful circumstances. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, the Lord gives us that strength. But it's not just a passive thing. We are to demonstrate then the courage that God gives us. You remember the disciples in Acts chapter 4? Some of them had been called in before the religious leadership. They were threatened and they gave a testimony for Christ. And said that they couldn't find anything to beat them for or to convict them on. And so finally they just gave them some more severe threats and let them go. What'd they do? Go back to their group and say, boy, This is dangerous. This is desperate. We've got to figure out something. How are we going to? No, they went back to the group and they prayed. They waited on the Lord and they said, now, Lord, you give us the courage. You give us the boldness. And it goes on to tell us in Acts 4:31 that they went out to preach the word of God with boldness. God gave them the strength, but then they were to exercise the courage. When David came upon that scene with that giant Goliath, he didn't rush right in and say, I'll take care of the situation. No, he gave his brothers and the other soldiers opportunity. He gave King Saul the opportunity when nobody else would do it. Finally, that teenage kid said, well, if nobody else will, there's a cause at stake, and I'll take on that giant. Now, he could have stayed there and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Maybe God would have struck the giant dead in some other way, but no. David was given strength and courage from the Lord, and he went out and he exercised that courage. He picked up some stones, he ran out, and he told that giant, God's going to deliver you in my hand, that people will know there's a God in Israel. He flung that stone and it smacked that giant right between the eyes. And before it was all over with, David had cut his head off with the giant's own sword and brought it back to Saul. But he had waited on the Lord, we find in the various Psalms. He knew what it was to wait upon God. He waited on the Lord for strength in a fearful circumstance. Thirdly, waiting upon God for the provision of material need. Psalm 104:27, these all wait upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Say, working with these church planters now, what a thrill it is to see God providing in miraculous, wonderful ways as they're starting out to do a work for God. I had the opportunity while I was alumni director to be out 23, 24 weeks a year in evangelistic revival meetings and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches, and to hear the testimony of those in the ministry and those not in the ministry as well, testifying of God providing their needs, meeting their needs as they waited upon Him. Didn't try to devise some way that they could do it, but they waited on the Lord and got the Lord's direction, got the Lord's answer. Maybe the Lord's answer was something that they could have rushed ahead and done, but they waited and had the Lord's direction to do that. Waiting on the Lord for the provision of material needs. Waiting on the Lord for His return. The return of the Lord. Luke 12, verse 35, 36. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when He shall return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Waiting on the return of the Lord. Eagerly. Today may be the day that the Lord comes. Waiting eagerly and also prepared that if He comes in the next hour, we're ready to meet Him. Paul told Titus how to live in that manner. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. John said, he that hath this hope, the hope of the Lord's return within him, purifies himself, living up to date with the Lord, living close to the Lord, living in fellowship with the Lord, living in a manner that will not be ashamed to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. And so, waiting for the return of the Lord, eagerly and prepared. Heard about a little girl whose mother died. And the daddy, trying to comfort her, said, honey, mommy's gone to be with Jesus. And one day Jesus is going to come and take you and me to be with mommy. And he said that as some words of comfort. Didn't think too much more about it. Till a day or two later, he happened to step into his little girl's bedroom. And there she had a suitcase all packed. By the door. And the dad said, well, honey, what's this? He thought maybe she's going to run away from home or grief had overtaken her. She said, well, Daddy, you said that Jesus was going to come and take you and me to be with Mommy. and I'm ready. I'm all packed and ready to go. Say, are we packed and ready to go if the Lord Jesus should come today? Now, I know, I can remember when I was a young man. I would hope that maybe the Lord wouldn't come for a little while because there were some things that I was wanting to do. Well, I was suffering from overweight. I was lagging behind the Lord. But eagerly and ready for the Lord's coming. And then, fifthly, wait upon the Lord for the transformation of our body. Say, one day, these bodies that are weak and sickly and have handicaps, the Lord's going to transform them. Romans 8:23, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so as we wait on the Lord with perhaps the weaknesses that we have in our body physically, not becoming discouraged over those physical difficulties, or on the other hand, not giving in to those physical difficulties. I think many of you know, or at least have heard perhaps, two graduates of this school that are tremendous demonstrations of that. Dr. Tim Mailer, paraplegic, went on to get his doctorate in pastoral theology here. He is an assistant pastor in a local church here. Bobby McCoy and his wife Sarah, who spoke in chapel last year. Bobby likewise, totally paralyzed. Young man, life ahead of him. He could say, why God's been unfair to me? Why'd God do this? And I can't do anything for God. He could spend all of his time languishing in self-pity. But no, Bobby's an assistant pastor over in the Knoxville, Tennessee area. And rejoicing in the Lord and realizing that that paralyzed body isn't going to be paralyzed forever. One day it's going to be shouting and praising God in the Lord's presence forever. So maybe you have some weaknesses. Maybe you have some physical difficulties that, like Paul, you say, Lord, I think I could be a better servant of yours if I didn't have this thorn in the flesh. What God say? My grace is sufficient for thee. You wait on me. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, why do we have this weight problem? I think oftentimes it's for one of two reasons. Either because of self-exaltation. We want to feel like, boy, we can handle it. I don't need, we wouldn't say this, but we live as though, well, I don't really need to wait on God. I can do this. I can handle this. Self-exaltation or else unbelief. Not unbelief that God can do it, but rather unbelief as to whether God will do it. Listen to the testimony of a Weight Watcher. I mean, this man knew what it was to wait. Jeremiah, Lamentations 3, verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. There's the testimony of a Weight Watcher. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him. Phyllis Brooks. We have some hymns in our hymn book by Brooks. He was known for his poise and his imperturbability. But close friends knew that he had moments of frustration and irritability. And one day, Phyllis Brooks was walking around in his study like a caged animal, just pacing and carrying on. And a friend who happened to drop by and saw him said, Phyllis, what's the problem? And Brooks said, the trouble is that I'm in a hurry and God isn't. A.J. Gordon, Baptist preacher of the past, said, the promises of God are certain, but they do not all mature in 90 minutes. Phyllis Brooks went on to write, Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as He has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake, and all now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know His voice who ruled them while He dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall be at last. Wait, I say, upon the Lord.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bud Bierman, Director of Church Planting for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.